Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio and the Long-Term Care Radio podcast. We are live on several stations in the Seattle market on the weekends, and I know we have people all over the country now listening to our podcast, and we really appreciate all the feedback we're getting. If you're new to Long-Term Care Radio, this program is about bringing awareness to one of the biggest issues our country is facing, and that is extended healthcare situations, or what we call long-term care. Currently, it's estimated that there are nearly 50 million people in long-term care situations in this country. I think it was like 47.6 was the last research data that I saw on this. And the sad thing is 80% of those people are relying on family members for their care. And this is creating a lot of consequences. You know, number one, financially, we know long-term care is expensive, but it's also expensive for the family members who are providing that care. People in the prime of their lives are giving up hours at work, they're giving up promotions, they're giving up full-time jobs for part-time jobs. A lot of people are walking away from their jobs altogether to be that caretaker. They're giving up time with their children and their grandchildren and spouses to care for a parent or a loved one. The physical and mental health issues for caregivers, that's a hard one. It's hard to put a dollar on it, but we know there's a true cost to that. The bottom line is, long-term care situations are having an effect on the wealth, the health, and the productivity of this country and its citizens. And now we're seeing the government take action, like they have done here in Washington State, by creating what I believe to be a very misguided solution to a growing problem. The Washington State Trust Act, also known as the Long-Term Care Services and Supports Trust Act, and this act of Washington State is putting in place, there's understand that this is just the canary in the coal mine. There are dozens of states looking at something similar to this because it's a problem across this country and people are trying to find a solution to this. So let's talk a little bit for a second for those people that are here in Washington State. What is the Long-Term Care Trust Act? It's a short-term benefit of $100 a day for a maximum of $36,500. So basically they're saying we'll give you $100 a day for a year. It's going to be funded with an initial payroll tax on all wages. And this is a key point. If you're an employee, it's on all your wages, your stock options, your bonuses, your commissions. 0.58% is the initial payroll tax. The consultants that worked with the state said you are underfunding this right out of the gate. You're making false assumptions, so expect that tax to go up. Eligibility to claim for this program, basically what you're doing is you're being taxed and that money is going into a trust fund. And for you to be eligible to get money out of that, you have to work a minimum of 500 hours a year. So figure about 10 hours a week. You have to pay premiums for 10 years. Without a break of 5 years or more. So that means you have to pay in for 10 years without a break of 5 years or more to be vested. Now, for the original claims, the people that start claiming in 2025, so January 2025 is when the first people can make a claim on this trust fund, they have to have paid in for 3 out of the last 6 years without that break. So again, there's going to be a lot of people that right now are close to retirement that are never going to qualify for this. And basically what it's going to do is it's going to provide reimbursement. So this $100 a day is going to be a reimbursement, but it's going to be paid out directly based on Medicaid comparable rates. So otherwise, benefits may be limited by dollar amount, or they might also be limited on the duration. They're going to look at it and say, well, this is the Medicaid standard for that service, and we know Medicaid reimbursement rates are low. So a lot of people are going to be surprised when the state comes in and says, no, we're not going to pay all of that. You can have up to $100 a day, but in this case, we're only going to give you $60. So bottom line is it's the government is in control. That's what this plan is going to be. Now, is this a good deal? Hardly. I mean, I look at it simply as a tax grab for a limited benefit. The state will spend more money on administrative costs than they will actually paying out benefits for people on this plan. The plan is not portable, which means those of you that pay into this plan and move to another state, you don't get to take this benefit with you. You have to live here in Washington State, so you've got to retire here. A non-working spouse is not covered. So if you have a stay-at-home dad or a stay-at-home mom and the spouse is working, guess what? They're not covered. Non-resident employees will pay the tax but not receive the benefit. So think of those people out here in Washington State. We have a couple communities, like Portland. A lot of people live in Oregon, and maybe they work in Vancouver, Washington, just across the Columbia River. Or the same over in Spokane, people that live in Idaho, and they live in Coeur d'Alene, but they work in Spokane. Those people will pay the tax, but they won't be eligible for the services because they are not a resident of the state. So that's a big thing there. Another thing that's not so good about this, it's going to trigger, meaning for you to get benefits out of the plan, you have to trigger three activities of daily living. A personal private long-term care insurance plan is going to be based off of two activities of daily living. So keep that in mind. And the other thing that's kind of tricky about this is if you're diagnosed with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's and you have your private long-term care insurance, that triggers the plan. Not under the state guidelines here. What the state simply is saying is if you're diagnosed with say, Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, you still need help with two other activities of daily living. So that's going to be something that's going to really surprise a lot of people. Family members can be paid for providing care by the state. But here's the catch. You have to go through 21 to 35 hours of training from the state. So again, that was part of the deal with the state and the union saying, look, we get to train the people. The state's got to pay for that. So again, they're going to force you to go through at least 21 hours of training to take care of your spouse or your loved one, regardless of what the situation is. So good news on the Washington State Trust Act. There is some good news here. We know that the residents in the state now, I believe they're going to have until November 1st, 2021 to put a plan in place. We thought that date was going to be July 24th. That's how the bill was originally written. But I think there was an amendment put in by the Senate, which just pushes that out to November 1st. I think a lot of the senators are trying to figure this out, how to go out and get their own plan, right? So that's the only way you can opt out. So if you have a plan in place by November 1st, you can opt out of the payroll tax. In order to opt out of the payroll tax, you will have to apply through the Employment Security Department. You will then receive an approval letter from the state that you give to your employer, and you will have until December of 2022 to opt out. Now, remember this. If you drag your feet and you get your plan in the middle of October and then you apply, the state's expecting 95,000 plus people to apply for those exemptions. They don't even have that office staffed yet, so it's going to be a backlog. So if you get your letter next November, you still have time to opt out before December 22nd, but they will collect taxes from January till next November or January till next June, whenever it is that you opt out. They're not going to refund those taxes to you, so just keep that in mind. Self-employed people can opt out, but if self-employed people opt in for this plan originally, they may not opt out in the future. So in another catch here is future employees have no chance of opting out. So if you've got a kid like I do that's 17 that can't even get a long-term care insurance plan, he goes to school and he comes back and gets a job, guess what? He's not going to have an option to opt out the way the bill's written right now. So that doesn't sound so good, right? I said there's some good news. Really, the good news was just that we have a little bit longer to get a plan in place if we do want to try to opt out. Now, is this plan good for anyone? Yes, you bet. So there's always two sides to the coin. So let's look at the other side of the coin. Who is this long-term care support services and support act going to be good for? Those who have no chance at getting long-term care insurance due to their health. You know, this is going to be a handover to them. And you remember, that's probably half of Americans. A third of Americans aren't going to qualify because a third of Americans are obese. And so remember, I was talking about that a couple weeks ago. When you have somebody that's so outside the build chart, the insurance carriers are not even going to offer insurance to them. So keep that in mind. We got a third of those, and then we have people that have chronic diseases already and people that have autoimmune diseases and MS. So probably half of Americans aren't going to qualify for private long-term care insurance, so they would be able to get this. Who else is it good for? Those who have little to no assets, because long-term care insurance really isn't suitable for them. There's nothing to protect, and they can't afford the premiums. So if they can work and pay into this for 10 years, even if it's just part-time, they can get some minimal coverage. Those who move here and can invest on a low-wage job. So think of somebody that has a chronic problem, COPD or whatever it is, and they can't get insurance today, or they have MS, but they are still working. They can come here and work 10 hours a week, vest by paying into the plan for 10 years. They will get that as well, too. And anybody who has long-term care insurance already, like I do, if you are paying into this plan and you never opt out, all this is going to be is just a supplement. You still are entitled to get that $100 a day for that year. So that's really the breakdown on that. So the big takeaway on this new Washington State Long-Term Care Trust Act is, you know, it's not that it's a new tax. It's that long-term care, or more specifically, the lack of planning for long-term care is becoming a real problem in this country. And states are stepping up and forcing us now to try to put a plan in place by taxing us on the money that we make. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the future shows, and I'm going to get everybody updated on how you opt out of this plan, and we're going to do some special webinars as well. So look for that information on our website. Now, let's talk about upcoming webinars. I do have two on the calendar right now. So for Saturday, May 8th is our next one. That's going to be a 9:05 kickoff. We really start the webinars at 9 o'clock, but I'm going to get the meat of the thing going at 9:05 to give people time to sign up, because we've seen so many people signing up for these. So figure 9:05, we'll get right into the meat of it. And then Wednesday the 12th at 3:05 p.m. So you can sign up for that on our website at 525longtermcare.com. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I have a question of the week from Gary up in Bellingham, and we're going to jump right into that. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees in our state will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m. If you can't attend, there's another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good long-term care plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked so hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never need it. So attend the free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m., another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Register now at 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio, and thanks for tuning in. Let's jump right into the question of the week this week. It's from Gary up in Bellingham, Washington. Beautiful area up there, up north, close to Canada and still close to the water. I think it's very beautiful up there. But Gary sent me a real nice question, said, we are interested in getting long-term care insurance, but would like to know more about the process of applying. What do we have to do to apply, and how long does it take after you apply? Do we need to do a physical? And if we want to do a single payment, when do we have to have money ready to send to the company? So what he's talking about is on some of these asset-based plans that we talk about, you have the option to do just a single payment. You can pay over time, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You can set up a continuous pay. So he's asking, hey, if I do want to do a single payment, how does the money work? When do I have to send that in? So this is a great question. And a lot of people, you know, they picture the padded room with, you know, a nurse coming in and chaining you to a chair and sticking a flashlight down your throat and drawing blood. But it's nothing like that. Let's just talk about the process. First thing to know is that all long-term care insurance plans require underwriting. Underwriting is the process of assessing your health and your financial suitability. So let's take a minute and talk about what that means. Number one, if you go to our website, you will see that we start the whole process with having you fill out what we call a pre-screen form. This is simply a pre-underwriting form that allows us to determine what options might be available for you. This is where we gather, you know, data on your height, your weight, medications taken and dosages, prescriptions you've had in the past couple years, procedures that you've had, or anything that you have planned. Like, I have a shoulder surgery coming up next month. That's just giving us a general view of your health. Now, this is key. This is such a key step that I won't proceed without this, because we would be guessing otherwise. Nationally, about one-third of people who apply for long-term care get turned down. And I'm going to put this, I'm pointing my finger straight at the other advisors out there that are writing long-term care insurance, because they're not doing their homework. They're not asking the questions and doing the pre-screen. And for you as a client, you do not want to get a turned down on your record, because a lot of companies will say, well, first question is, have you been applied and been turned down for long-term care in the last 2 years? And if you say yes, a lot of companies just won't even consider you. So the point is, we see it all the time. People, advisors start with the application, and then someone's in physical therapy their last month and they get turned down, where they could have just said, look, we need to wait till you get out of physical therapy, then we'll submit and you can get approval. So we always start with that. It's just key. Now, remember, the insurance companies will always verify information, often with medical records, but they're always going to do a prescription drug, what we call an Rx check. So start with the pre-screen, Gary. The second step is going to be gathering some basic information about your finances, including assets and income. Now, we're not trying to be nosy at this point. It's just understand that the insurance companies have suitability. They have to make sure that you can afford the payments. If you're taking an ongoing payment plan, you got to be able to afford the payments today and in the future. What happens if you retire and now you're just on Social Security? Now, all of a sudden, can you still afford that payment? So that's really what they're looking at. And also, if you're trying to do an asset-based plan, are we taking the last $100,000 out of your IRA and putting it into a long-term care plan? That doesn't make sense. We can't do that, so we're not going to do that. So that's why we have to gather some information about your assets and your income and just a little bit about your financial health. It also provides us a chance, when we gather this information, to find out a little bit about you and your goals. So are you planning on aging in place, your home? Are you considering moving? Would you go to a community, an assisted living community, a continuing care retirement center? How involved is your family going to be? I mean, are you living like the Waltons, where you got all the kids and the grandparents in one big house, so you got a big support team around you? Or are you on your own with no kids? That's going to greatly help me determine the type of policies that we need to look at. What is suitable? And what I mean by that is, if I have good support and services, maybe a cash plan works okay for me. But if not, I want that concierge level service that's going to help me and my family provide the care that we need. So that's the second step. Just gather a little bit of data. The next step in the process to put a plan in place, this is where I'm going to schedule a call with you. This is the planning process itself. And what I'm going to do is go over options and custom design a plan for you. Now, this is your plan. What we're going to figure out is, do you want an average plan? Do you want lifetime benefits? Or do you just want a small plan, maybe something to supplement a pension? It's up to you. This is your plan, and so we're trying to design that. The next thing that we're going to do is, after we figure out the, you know, which carrier to go with and designing that plan, is how's the best way to fund the plan? What is the best way? And what I mean by that, are you a business owner? Are you able to deduct some of those premiums? Do you have a large chunk of assets you can just do a one-and-done payment? Does it make more sense for you because you have pension income, where you just schedule an ongoing guaranteed level payment? Whatever it is, we will discuss that and we'll figure out the best way to fund that plan for you. The next step after that is, we're going to design that custom plan, or after we have that custom plan designed for you, we will get the application process started. And this is generally done, Madeline, our case manager, will send out the information, and she's going to collect some basic information there. That fills out most of the application, and then she'll call you to get any personal information she doesn't want emailed, you know, social security numbers, anything like that, and get that application done, email it to you, you click on it, sign it electronically, and then we can submit it to the carrier. I think I have one or maybe two carriers out there that still require a wet ink signature. Almost everybody will allow us to do DocuSign or electronic signature, so it makes it a lot easier on the process for you. Now, we're going to get that submitted, and as soon as we submit your application, Gary, the first thing the insurance company is going to do is they're going to pull that Rx check. So they're going to look at the prescription drugs that you are basically prescribed. Then the next step for you is you're going to start with a phone interview. Almost every company is going to do this. So we start with that phone interview, and this is just going to be an interview kind of going over the application that you submitted, maybe clarifying some information, some questions on there. This could be a 15-minute call, and you're done. Or based on your age or if you have a more complicated medical history, it might take, you know, up to 45 minutes, and you're going to go through that, and they're just going to verify some of that information. Now, occasionally, we will have a little bit more cognitive testing, so for especially for people over 60 or 65. The insurance company may run you through a cognitive test over the phone. It's kind of called the Minnesota cognitive test is what most people use. But that's going to be basically how you always start the process is just with that phone interview. Our case manager will prepare you for the call and let you know based on the carrier how their process works. The next thing we're going to do is the insurance company is going to reach out and they're going to let us know if they need any additional information. This could be an attending physician statement, which is just simply, you know, your medical records from your doctor. Rarely it's a face-to-face interview. So if we're in a complicated situation or you don't have, for somebody that doesn't go to the doctor on a regular basis, you haven't been to the doctor in 5 years, they might do a face-to-face, which means they'll come out, they'll bring a scale, they'll have you stand on the scale, they'll do a blood check, pressure check, they might do blood and urine, but that's rarely. I would say that's maybe 5% of our cases, and we would know that ahead of time, Gary, so we'd be able to prepare you for that. And occasionally we might get a letter from your doctor. If you went to a specialist or something, we might get some clarification on that. After the underwriter receives this requested information, they will usually issue a decision. Overall, the process will take anywhere from a couple weeks to maybe 3 months if we're chasing down medical records. So then as far as the timing of the money, how do you fund that, Gary? Really, a lot of the companies will allow us to do a conditional receipt, which says we can get coverage from the day we apply that in if you send the money in. Other companies won't offer that, but almost all the companies will allow us to fund the policy upon approval. So, great question. A few more things we'll touch on here later in the show, and we're going to take our next break. And when I come back, let's head into our client of the week as well. Lawrence, we'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees in our state will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m. If you can't attend, there's another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good long-term care plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked so hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never need it. So attend the free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m., another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Register now at 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, Certified Long-Term Care Planning Specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio, and thanks again for tuning in. You know, if you have a question of the week for us, you can always just go to our website at 525longtermcare.com, shoot that through. I love getting those questions because it just kind of helps me, be more aware of what people are actually concerned about and thinking about. And so I love those questions of the week. This week it was Gary just asking about the process. And also, if you want to learn more about the entire options of long-term care, that's what the webinars are. And so we have two webinars coming up May 8th. That's going to be a Saturday morning at 9:05. And then we've got May 12th, which is Wednesday afternoon at 3:05. Both of those are on our website. And again, the webinars just give you the 10,000 foot view so we can learn about, what is long-term care? What does it pay for? Where does it pay for care? How do you trigger your plan? How does that money come back to you? How are you paid once you're on claim? What does Medicare pay for? What does Medicaid pay for in a long-term care situation? What's the difference between an asset base and a traditional plan? And so we're going to talk about all that in the webinar and just get you educated so that when you sit down with us, you understand the basics. You understand how a policy triggers. And we have a real nice book that we send out, a guide to long-term care planning that we can send out to you either in a PDF or we'll put a stamp on one and send you the physical book. So look for those webinars on our website coming up. Gary's question again, wanting to know about the process. Now, I will tell you on the funding side of it, if we're doing a traditional pay-as-you-go long-term care plan, some carriers are requiring premium at least 2 months submitted with the application. And this is really to weed out people that are just applying to see if they can get approved and walking away, because the insurance carriers end up having to pay for medical records. They've got to pay for all that. So there's quite a bit of costs involved on the underwriting. So some carriers are requiring deposit, especially on the traditional plans. So keep that in mind. But we'll let you know. We always let people know if we're putting a plan in place, this is when you have to have money ready, or if you're going to pay the full year, you can submit 2 months now, and then once you're approved, we'll get the other 10 months paid up at that time. And so once we have that approval, the policy is delivered to us, then the final step in the process, we're going to do a little bit of work on the policy that we need to do, create a cheat sheet for you, which kind of just lays out all your information in one sheet that you can give to your family members. Because they're going to stumble on your policy. They're not going to know what that is. So we create a cheat sheet saying, hey, this is long-term care. This is who you call. This is how you get a hold of us. This is how you get a hold of the insurance company. Here's what your benefit is. Here's how you trigger the claim. All that's on one page. And you can scan that and give it to your family members. And then we will be there to guide you and help you with that, filing the claims in the future. We turned on several last year. So that's just kind of what we do above and beyond. And then we get that policy to you. And then every policy that you get, you have 30 days to review that policy, Gary. So that just means I get the policy, I look at it. This isn't what Brian said it is. I'm not taking it. I'm going to send it back. And I will tell you, out of all the years that I've been doing this, I think I've had that happen maybe once or twice, and it's because a family situation changed. One couple got divorced between applying for the loan and the policy and receiving it 3 months later. So those things happen, but you have your 30-day free look. So that's always kind of nice to understand when you get a policy. So let's talk about, designing a plan. I got such a great call from this gentleman named Lawrence. And, it just brings up the question, how much do you love your family? How much do you love your spouse? I think it's just key to understand that that's what long-term care planning is about. It's about protecting the people that you care about. That's really what long-term care planning does. And Lawrence is 74. He reached out to us a few weeks ago, and he wanted to get long-term care insurance for his wife. Debbie was, several years younger than him. She's basically 68. He's 74. Lawrence was uninsurable. He had some issues that were not going to allow him to get long-term care insurance. And what he was worried about more than anything, he said, look, I want to make sure that when I'm gone, that my wife is taken care of. There's a good chance she's going to live a lot longer than me. And I just want to make sure that she has the resources and she has the people around her to provide her the care. That's what I want. I want to set up a plan for my wife that way. That was his concern. He didn't want his wife or his kids to try to handle or juggle everything, because Lawrence watched Debbie, his wife. He watched her with her mom. Her mom was in a long-term care situation. Her mom actually had insurance. She had some insurance, ended up in an assisted living. But what he was surprised at is how much work Debbie actually was doing for her mom, you know, helping her with the finances, managing all these things, doing all that stuff. And then when her mom's long-term care insurance ran out, Debbie really had to step up and do a lot. And this is very familiar. This is what my mom did. My mom stepped in with my grandma. And then when my grandmother's long-term care insurance ran out, she only had 4 years of coverage. Guess what? My mom had to step in and now take on more responsibility. So that was something that, you know, Lawrence saw, and he just said, I don't want that. That is one of the biggest things. I don't want her or my kids having to deal with taking care of their mom and make all these decisions. So that is something that he was just really adamant about. What we found out during the conversation, Debbie was 68. She was in good health. Her mom lived into her 90s, into her mid-90s. So Lawrence was saying, you know, there's longevity in the family. She could be around another 30 years. Lawrence truly wasn't insurable. He wasn't in great shape. So there was just nothing we could do for him, and he was aware of that. Lawrence and Debbie lived off a pension and Social Security quite comfortably, and that pension would transfer over to Debbie. So he knew she would have the income, the Social Security, and she'd have that pension. So even when he was gone, she'd be able to just have the day-to-day living costs covered and be comfortable that way. Another thing that I found out about Lawrence was that he was taking out $54,000 a year out of his IRA. Remember, he's 74, so those were required minimum distributions. So this was money that he did not need. Keep that in mind. This $54,000 was above and beyond what he needed, but he had to take out that required minimum distributions. They owned a family home and a vacation home. They wanted to pass both of those on to their kids. They had four children. They had nine grandchildren. So again, Lawrence is looking at the big picture saying, look, I want to preserve the assets. I want to make sure my wife is comfortable. I want to make sure that my kids aren't taken away from the grandkids trying to help mom. They're always going to be involved. They're going to love her. They're going to be doing things. But he said, I don't want them having to do the day-to-day management if she ends up in a care situation. And Lawrence wanted to position some of his assets to protect Debbie. He had this huge IRA account. The problem with that IRA account was that he knew that when he passed away, that would roll over to Debbie. Debbie would have to continue to take those required minimum distributions. And then if she passes away, it's going to pass on to the kids. Well, that IRA is just going to get decimated because the kids then have to take all that money out over 10 years. And so he got this. This was a tax law change with the SECURE Act. But he had this IRA money and said, you know, I'm not really using that for anything. I'd like to maybe use some of that to fund a plan so that we know, regardless of what happens, we have a dedicated source to pay for Debbie's care. So after we had this discussion, we discussed what options were available for him, and I designed a custom plan for Debbie, and this is simply what we did. Lawrence had good income and savings and investments, so they had some different options how they could have paid. But remember, he was also drawing $54,000 out of his IRA account every year for required minimum distributions. He had to pull that money out, and he did not need that money. That is key. Because he did not need his required minimum distribution income, this made using some of that IRA money ideal funding source for Debbie's plan. So he basically was sitting there saying, gosh, yeah, I want to guarantee this IRA might last. It's probably more than enough money to pay, but I also understand if she has to start pulling out more money than the required minimum distributions, it's going to push up the tax rate and it's going to cause Medicare to go up and all these other things. He was very aware of that. So he's basically sitting there saying, look, we have this IRA money. Can we use some of this? This would be an ideal funding source. He has access to this money regardless, right? It's just his IRA money. He's got to take out the required minimum distributions. And again, when he passes away, the IRA money goes on to Debbie. So it's going to become her money regardless of what happens if he passes away first. So we looked at that and we said, yes, we can use that. And you can do it in one of two ways. You can just take some of that money that you're paying out and do a 10 pay for Debbie. So, or a 5-pay or whatever you want. She's healthy enough and she's under 70. So that means we can do multi-pay options, meaning I can set up a plan that's paid over 5 years or 10 years or you know, even 20 years in some cases. But what we ended up deciding to do is our most popular plan out there, we take a lump sum out of the IRA and we fund a plan. Just write one check. It's actually a rollover. It's a transfer. So Lawrence never touches the money. The insurance company will just roll that over from his IRA and put it into their account in the background. And this allows them to spread the taxes out over 10 years. So what I mean by this is if you go out and you take a couple $100,000 out of your IRA today, doesn't matter, and go out and buy a boat for it, you got to claim that $200,000 as income and pay taxes on it this year. What we're able to do with this plan is take that lump sum out today and spread the taxes out over 10 years. And the best part about it, the money that the insurance company is reporting being pulled out every year, they're going to do that for 10 years, counts towards the required minimum distributions. So basically, Lawrence doesn't have to pull out any more money. He's got to pull out the $54,000 anyway every year. And so we're going to take a portion of that and offset that. And let me just explain what I mean, because here's what we did for Debbie. We took a single deposit of $325,000 out of the IRA. So this was the IRA that Lawrence had. We funded a plan for his wife with his IRA, basically. Now, remember, this money's just going to go to her anyway if he passes away. So it will become her IRA. And so then Debbie would have to continue taking those required minimum distributions. So we took $325,000 out, deposited with the insurance company. This provides Debbie with a lifetime tax-free benefit of $10,412 a month, about $125,000 a year, tax-free for life. So now that's that dedicated source. Remember, Debbie's got pensions, she's got Social Security, and now she's got $125,000 a year coming in tax-free for long-term care. Now, if she doesn't use this plan, it's going to provide the estate $347,000 back. So that's the guaranteed value of this plan. So he put $325,000 in. He's guaranteed to get $347,000 out. Now, it also is going to provide $20,000 for caregiver training. So that would be anybody in the family. If mom, you know, has a special medical situation and people want to learn how to handle medication or take a class on Alzheimer's, it'll pay for that. It'll also give her another $20,000 for home improvement, meaning she could put an access ramp in or grab handles or a stair lift, or she could buy an intravenous pump or whatever she needs medical equipment-wise or home improvement-wise to make her house safe for an extended health care situation. They will give her an additional $20,000 for that, and she's still getting her $10,000 a month coming in for life tax-free. Now, concierge claim service. Remember, Lawrence's biggest thing is he said, I don't want her or my kids to have to deal with all the busy work of a long-term care situation. So the concierge level claim service, this is the same plan that I have, it assigns somebody to you and your family. Once we call, we assign somebody, and think of that person as the travel guide. We land in Spain, we're in Madrid, we don't know the language, we've never been there, we don't know where to eat, where to stay. That's what a long-term care situation is like. It's new to people, and people don't understand what goes in and what's Medicare doing for and what do they mean by this and that and blah, blah, blah. So think of getting off of the plane and you have this, you know, sign, basically somebody with a sign with your name on it, and they speak your language because you don't speak the long-term care language. These people do. And so that's what it does. It provides that support for the family. The family and Debbie are still going to be in control of where she ages, if it's a home or she wants to go to a community, or which services she brings in, which caregiving services. She gets to stay in control of all that. It's just that she has concierge level support saying, hey, you might want to look at this or this, or these are the good places. These are the places that have the best ratings. We can help get somebody out here for you. They'll make the calls and do a lot of that legwork for her, get the plan of care from the doctor, do all of those things that need to be done. So her kids don't have to do that, and she has the team of professionals for the rest of her life. So check all the boxes for Lawrence. That's what he really wanted. Now, let's go back to the funding options for Lawrence. Remember, he took out $325,000 in one lump sum. He's not going to get taxed on this year. What the company does is the company sets up an IRA in the background and they fund the long-term care plan on their books technically over 10 years. I say on their books because for Lawrence and Debbie, it's a one and done. They got coverage today. They don't have to worry about anything. But guess what happens? They're going to pull out a chunk of money for the next 10 years and generate a 1099-R. So that 1099-R is the same thing you get when you take money out of your IRA. So he'll get a 1099-R for $39,000. that counts towards the $54,000 he has to pull out. So now he's got $39,000 coming out every year for the next 10 years. He has to pull out $54,000 this year, maybe $57,000 next year, whatever it is. He just has to pull out the difference because that $39,000 is going to count towards that. So he's not pulling out any more money out of his IRA than he was before. It's just he has guaranteed leverage. If you do the 39,000 times 10, that's 390. Remember, he only put 325 into the plan. That's because they're giving him a guarantee. They're saying, look, the money you give us today is going to earn 3 to 3.5% interest guaranteed. So we're going to make basically 10 payments for the price of 8 into this insurance plan. But Debbie has the plan laid out right in front of her from day one. Now, if something happened to Debbie catastrophic and she passed away, not only would she get that $347,000 back, the first 8 years, she's going to get more money back because that money's in the IRA. So year one, if she passed away, $635,000 is paid back to the estate. So you can see, folks, why this is such a home run. It is a guarantee. All Lawrence did was move a little bit of money out of one pocket. He stuck it into another pocket, but he got all these features, all these benefits, all these tax advantages. And as far as he knows, he does not have to pull one more dime out to pay for long-term care insurance. And it's just a wonderful way to set a plan up. And if they never use it, the estate gets more money back than they put into the plan. So that's what's just wonderful about that. So I got to come up for air. Let's head into our last break. And when we come back, I just want to talk a little bit about a question that I get about every single webinar. So we'll get to that right when we come back.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees in our state will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m. If you can't attend, there's another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good long-term care plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked so hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never need it. So attend the free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m. Another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Register now at 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio. You know, I always get so excited on the client of the week, and I know the numbers are hard on the radio, so don't get caught up on that. The real point of this client of the week is that we design a custom plan. Gary was wanting to know the question of the week, what's the process? What do you go through? And that's really what the client of the week is, to say, hey, depending on where you're at. So like Lawrence had, you know, over $1 million in an IRA account. We were able to just reposition some of that money. He had to take it out anyway. If it doesn't get used, it goes back to the estate tax-free, but it provides his wife that lifetime guarantee that he wanted. So now he knows she's going to have pension, she's going to have Social Security, and she's got $125,000 a year tax-free for as long as she needs it, should she need care. And if she doesn't, the money's going to go back. And it solves a problem with his required minimum distributions. He's taking the money out anyway. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful plan, by far one of our most popular plans, especially for people that are, you know, now the required minimum distribution start at age 72. So again, that is part of that funding process. If they were, you know, 62, well, we'd look at that and say, maybe we just set up a 10 pay and you just pay the payments yourself, because then you can pull money out from wherever you want. If you want to let your retirement account just continue to grow tax deferred, you can, or you can pull money out. So we're always going to have that discussion with you. That's, you know, part of my job that I just love, is figuring out the most efficient way to fund a plan and having that discussion. There's no perfect answer, but there are a lot of options, and I'm just going to bring that to the table for you when we put a plan in place. So our last segment here, I want to answer a question that we get almost every day when we talk about these asset-based plans. And that question is simply, what happens if the insurance company can't pay my claim? People are worried about this. And we have to remember that insurance is a guarantee. It's a contract. And so you'll see in the fine print that the legalese say, well, the guarantee is only as good as the financial strength of the company. Well, that's kind of bogus. They have to say that. But if you think about this, the way insurance works, insurance companies are cash reserve companies, meaning when you give them that $325,000, like Lawrence did, they don't go out there and buy stocks with it. They don't go out and buy new buildings with it or hire a bunch of new people. What they do is they put it in a cash reserve account, usually treasuries, government treasuries, maybe some corporate bonds that are A-rated. It's got to be liquid because they have a liability. That liability is the future liability. Remember a few weeks ago, I was talking about insurance companies work differently. Their cost is on the back end versus a manufacturer spends all the money on the front end and then sells the product. Insurance company is, the cost is on the back end. So by law, they have to have the cash reserves to pay those liabilities, and they're audited on a regular basis. So what happens if a company gets into a financial situation? Number one, they're not allowed to sell any more insurance. The regulators come in and say, you've got to get your cash reserves back up to this certain level, or interest rates are down, so now you've got to get more cash reserves up because you're not getting the return on those cash reserves. It's always monitored. But still, the nagging question, what happens if the company did get in trouble? Well, every state's going to have some kind of guarantee trust association. And so that just means that there's a guarantee behind your policy, and you get that information with every policy, whether it's life insurance, long-term care insurance, health insurance. But more importantly, to know how insurance companies work, is that the good insurance companies, which are almost all of them, you know, the ones we work with are all A-rated financially. The idea is that they use reinsurance as well. So there's insurance companies for insurance companies, believe it or not. So if that hurricane comes through and wipes out, you know, 10,000 homes, the insurance company can say, hey, we're on the hook for the first $500 million, and we bought some additional insurance behind it to cover the other $500 million. So again, those companies work that way. And if we go back, I don't care if it's an annuity, I don't care if it's life insurance or it's long-term care insurance, there's never been somebody that's been in a situation that did not get paid a claim, a legitimate claim, because the insurance company did not have the resources. There's safeguards to protect that. And the company that I work with, like this company that Lawrence has, I mean, they're 140 years old. They're mutual companies, meaning you own them as a company. They're not looking at, you know, getting profits up this quarter to impress Wall Street to drive their stock price up. They don't have a stock price. You guys own the company. It's a mutual company. You want to work with that. The companies that have had, you know, the John Hancock's, the Genworth, the Transamerica, those are for-profit companies. You can go read their shareholder minutes. And those are the companies that are now out of long-term care insurance business. Transamerica just got out last month. And so they have different, you know, they're trying to improve that stocks and get profits, where a mutual company is trying to stay profitable, but they're trying to be profitable for the health of their book of business, which is their client. So you own it. And so those bigger companies that you hear out there, New York Life, Mass Mutual, One America, Nationwide, those are all these mutual companies. So just remember that. We get that question all the time, and it's a valid question. But again, insurance is one of the safest places you can have money, because there's all kinds of safety built into the product itself. They have to have cash behind it. They have reinsurance behind it. They have state guarantees behind it. There's just a lot of protection, because as soon as a company does not pay a claim, I don't care if it's life insurance, long-term care, homeowners, as soon as one company does that, they say, hey, we can't fix the homes in Florida after the hurricane. We don't have the money. Insurance would become worthless. Nobody would buy that. So that's why the safety protocol is set up the way it is for insurance companies. So thanks again for tuning in this week. Again, for everybody in Washington State, jump on these next couple webinars. We're also going to talk a little bit about this state trust act. It is evolving. I think it's on the governor's desk. I do not know that it's been signed as of putting this show together. So, but we are expecting that to come out here in the next week. And then I'm going to do a little lunch and learn, maybe a 20-minute webinar to show people kind of what the final rule says and how you get out, because I think a lot of people are going to be surprised about it. Educate yourself on this subject, long-term care planning. It's important. Remember, these new rules, Washington State's doing it. A lot of other states are doing it because long-term care is a problem in this country. You're responsible for it. You're going to go broke. Nobody cares. And so get a plan in place. Educate yourself through one of our websites. You can sign up, learn about our process at 525longtermcare.com. Again, 525longtermcare.com. And let us know what questions you have. I love to answer your questions. And we'll be back next week with another new show. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees in our state will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m. If you can't attend, there's another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good long-term care plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked so hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never need it. So attend the free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m., another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Register now.